Montana State University Billings welcomes you to this internet broadcast of Yellow Jacket Sports.
And welcome to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Ken Adelblue talking today with the Montana State Billings head softball coach, Tony Stone, coming off a successful weekend in which they swept St. Martin's in two games. We were hoping to get four games in, but Mother Nature, surprisingly enough, there's a shocker, did not cooperate. Tony, you know, St. Martin's came to town. You were down there and really kind of dominated them on the road, but boy, these were a couple of tough games.
Yeah, St. Martin sure has improved, no doubt. When we played them at their place, it was, I'd say maybe it was their first four to six games that they'd played, and we'd had, oh, probably about 20 in already. And them showing up and playing as well as they did, and, you know, it's indicative of how, you know, how much better they've become already. I say it a lot that, you know, any team in the GNAC can beat anybody at any time, but I think that's proof that, you know, that's how good the conference is up and down. It's good for them. I think it's good for St. Martin's. It's good for us. You know, those competitive games are going to help us improve, find out where our weaknesses are, and, you know, we need to improve upon them. But give them the credit. They played well. They played hard, had good pitching, had some very timely hitting. And I guess at the end of the day, we had one more run than they did in each game, and that was the ultimate goal, was to get two wins.
That's really what makes softball and baseball unique. I mean, if you look at something on paper and you can say, okay, we're better there, we're better there, we're better there, we're better there, we're better there. But the thing about softball and baseball, it really is a sport where one player truly can make a huge difference. And obviously, particularly in that second game, a 1-0 game, could have been worse except for Whitney's home run there in the bottom of the seventh. You know, as long as pitching is part of the equation, really anything can happen in softball.
Yes, and we are very fortunate to have the pitching staff that we do have. And, you know, a mix, seniors and freshmen. And, you know, overall, I'd say we have the deepest pitching staff in our conference, which is definitely helpful when you're going into the stretch. It's a long season, and, you know, the more pitching you have, the better you can be and the farther you can go. But you know, it's something it's almost a comfort in a way to know that, you know, we start somebody, we have three other people that can go in and get it done. And for example, when we were at Central Washington and we went, you know, 11 or 12 innings, I think I used, you know, three of my four pitchers in just one game. And, you know, each person went in, did their job, and did what they needed to do. So, you know, a deep pitching staff and a good pitching rotation is definitely helpful when you're in those close ball games.
I think it's important to note, too, is you've certainly had your share of games this year where you've blown teams out. And certainly, I think maybe we've been spoiled a little bit. We kind of expect that from the Yellow Jacket roster. But the thing I like about your team, like a lot of things, but one thing that really impresses me is even when they're struggling a little bit, particularly in that second game or even in that first game, when you get up to a 6-0 lead, they come back to make it 6-5. It doesn't seem to be a team that particularly gets down on themselves. They seem to be very confident, and they really don't lose their composure even during those situations that maybe get a little hairy.
Yeah, and sometimes I would say that, you know, we are a little bit too relaxed, you know. I think that's one of the reasons that we let some teams back into a few ball games this year. We get up on somebody, we feel good about that. You know, I'm trying to teach these kids, hey, when you're in that situation, it's time to hammer down. And I think we just get a little bit too relaxed where, you know, we know, you know, at times how good we can be. But those are the times that we really need to push, finish the game, not allow teams to come back and not allow them to get any sort of confidence or any sort of momentum to battle back into a ball game. And, yeah, it is a good feeling to know that we do have a lot of talented players out there, but I'd really like to see them push a little harder to finish games, close the door on people a little bit more effectively and efficiently. Rather than relax, you know, at certain times during the ball game.
I'd like to expand on that a little bit during the second part of the Coach's Show. The Coach's Show brought to you by Alpha Graphics, Stella's Kitchen and Bakery, Clock Tower Inn, Ortho Montana, Denny Menholt, Farmers Insurance Group, First Interstate Bank, SignPro, Perkins, Rimrock Stages, GM Petroleum Distributors, St. Vincent Healthcare, and Jackets & Company. We'll be back with the second part of the Coach's Show with Tony Stone coming up next.
Catering to today's traveler, the Juniper Inn offers affordable, quality accommodations with king and queen size beds and new executive facilities for the business traveler. The Juniper Inn offers complimentary shuttle service as well as special medical and corporate rates and much more. Their friendly staff works hard to cater to your special needs. Juniper Inn, 1315 North 27th Street, Billings. Call toll free 1-800-826-7530.
Welcome back to the second part of the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Ken Adelblue talking with the head coach for the Montana State Billings softball team, Tony Stone. Talk a little bit about that first game, 6-5, you know, just kind of on a blink of the eye. You guys are up 2-0. You know, Tarina gets on base, and then Shea Oberg hits another home run for you. You know, you build up a 6-0 lead. You just talked about it a little bit, and boy, things got interesting, particularly with the big home run there in the top half of the seventh. You end up winning 6-5. You know, you alluded to it there in the first part of the coach's show, but talk about that when you're up 6-0. I mean, obviously the team doesn't quit playing. I mean, they're not sitting there consciously thinking, okay, we've got this thing in the bag. But I guess, just for lack of a better term, what happened after those first three innings?
Yeah, we lost focus. Initially going in, the first inning, you know, we got three outs very quick. Came up, Tarina led off with a single, Shea hits a home run. You know, our first, I think, five hitters through the lineup got on base before they recorded an out. That was the start that I wanted. However, throughout the next few innings there, it just seemed like we were, well, we're up 6-0, you know, we're okay. And then they go back-to-back home run. Well, we're still up by four. We're okay. I just think at some point we lost focus. We lost that drive. We lost that momentum that we had from the first inning. Just couldn't find a way to get it back. Had a few people get on and couldn't push them across in the latter innings there. But ultimately, we just lost focus. It was obvious. We let down a little bit. And, you know, we've really got to stop that. We've got to identify it first. And I think sometimes we have a tough time identifying it as a team. We wait for somebody else to pick up rather than actually making something happen. So it was kind of tough to watch, you know, when you're up 6-0 and then allow a team to battle back into the game. And yes, we did win, but I think, you know, it's something that we're going to have to learn from in terms of making sure that we keep our focus, we keep our intensity throughout the entire ballgame.
Yeah, we've talked about the past situational hitting. I think probably the problem in that the latter part of that first game and the second game is you just didn't really have a whole lot of situational hitting that could take place. And certainly in softball, the big thing is, you know, when you get runners on base, you know, it opens up so many opportunities in terms of strategy and stuff like that. So for whatever reason, and give credit to St. Martin, certainly, particularly that second game, I thought she did a great job pitching. But from that standpoint, probably just weren't getting the base runners to kind of allow you to maybe do some things and kind of force them into some fielding situations that might get a little hairy for them.
Yeah, and that's something that we really need to work on. When we get somebody on, we've got to figure out a way to push them across home plate, whether they get a single, double, however they manage to get on base. We've got to do better in terms of our focus, our mental approach to an at-bat, and concentrating on what we need to do to get that runner across the plate. I think sometimes we don't do that when we go into the batter's box. We have a mentality of, you know, maybe less than positive, and we're thinking about things other than what we need to do in order to push a run or two across, and we've just got to be more focused. One of the things that I tell the girls constantly, and actually Whitney Whittemore in particular, is be aggressive in the zone. And that's something that, you know, we all can benefit from, but Whitney especially, because she has a tendency to want to swing at pitches out of the zone. But she's so strong and powerful and quick that if somebody does make a mistake, she needs to be aggressive in the zone. And the home run that she hit was a 3-0 pitch. You know, you don't want to throw a 3-0 pitch to somebody that is that powerful and that aggressive. But I think that's what we all need to do as a team, you know, be more aggressive in the zone. If we get behind, it's because we swung at a pitch that was in the zone, and we try and lay off the pitches that are away.
You know, talk about that. You know, Steph Goslin hit a 3-0 pitch for a homer the week before, and then all of a sudden Whitney hits the game winner, the walk-off home run on a 3-0 pitch. From a manager standpoint, does everybody have the green light, or is that something that, based on the situation, that you kind of look at?
Not everybody. It is situational, and it is based on the player that is up to bat. But, you know, I would ultimately like to give everybody the green light, because I think the 3-0 pitch is one of the best pitches you'll ever see in your life. It's right down the middle, because they just want to get a strike, and it's almost like a batting practice fastball sometimes. But situationally, you know, if we've got runners on, maybe a runner on third, runner on second, winning run, you know, depending on the out situations, yeah, I'll cut them loose on 3-0. But, you know, if we're down by one run and we need base runners, I'd like to think that we'll take a walk over, you know, swinging at a 3-0 pitch, which might result in an out for the opposite team. So, yeah, it is situational, and there are a few kids on the team that I'll give the green light to. But, you know, it's ultimately somewhere I'd like everybody to be. We're just not there yet.
I'll be honest with you. You know, I want to talk a little bit more about Whitney, but from the standpoint that if anybody would have asked me at the start of the year any concerns about MSUB, I probably would have told him, well, the shortstop position. I didn't know Whitney very well. All I knew is you were losing a great one in Jessica Frank, a gal that you'd had for quite a while here at MSUB, you know, who'd settled in that position, arguably the best shortstop in the Great Northwest Athletic Conference. That is such a crucial position, you know, anytime you start talking about the middle there. But obviously, Whitney has done just an outstanding job stepping in there, not just with the big home run, but I thought from a defensive standpoint, she made one play deep in the hole that was just outstanding on the one hop throw to Trina.
Yeah, Whitney's done a great job. Ultimately, you know, based on her own performance, you know, we recruited her initially as a second baseman. We were in the running for another shortstop from the same community college that she was attending, and that shortstop ended up choosing UNLV, and, you know, Whitney still chose to come here, so we moved her over. She got into a pretty heated battle with another couple of position players. Alyssa Frank, both her and Whitney have been battling back and forth in terms of, you know, that position. And we had an injury with Stevie Howard a few weeks back. So, you know, Alyssa, the versatile player that she's become, we moved her over to second. Whitney's taken over at shortstop. And, you know, our middle's pretty solid right now. You know, with Whitney, Alyssa, and Stevie, all three of them at any time, I feel comfortable with any one of them being out there. They're all hardworking kids and some of the toughest kids on the team. I mean, Stevie especially, you know, she dives for everything she possibly can. Whitney, deep in the hole there, she's got one of the strongest arms to throw from that 5-6 hole. I mean, she might one hop from, you know, left field, but she's got a cannon coming from behind second base there. So, yeah, you know, all of our middles have done a tremendous job. We've had great team competition throughout the entire season, and I'm comfortable with putting anybody there right now. But ultimately, Whitney has done, you know, a tremendous job for us.
Geez, I just wrote the story this morning off the press release, but I think 5 straight weeks now, Montana State Billings has had the Great Northwest Athletic Conference Pitcher of the Week, I think 6 times total this year. I think Casey's been, what, maybe 3 times. Let's talk about Casey Condor. You know what I really like about Casey is I interviewed her after the shutout, the 1-0 win the other day, and you'd have thought she just got hammered when I was interviewing her. I mean, she was just, I was like, geez, you realize you just struck out 11 batters, you know, held them to no runs, but she really didn't seem all that happy with her performance. The reason I point that out is from a coach's standpoint, when a player has that high of standards for herself, I mean, that's got to be a good feeling for you.
Yes, and, you know, I think I mentioned to you right before you spoke with her, she probably won't think too highly of her performance, but, you know, Casey's one of those people that she's very hard on herself, and I think that's good. It's just I don't want our players to beat themselves up either. You know, yes, be hard on yourself, but don't beat yourself up. Give yourself credit where it's due. You need to work on something, then put the effort in, put the work in. And that's one thing about Casey I'll never have to worry about. She's going to work hard. She's going to put the effort in. And actually, she's somebody that we have to rein back. And I got to tell her, hey, you need rest as well. I think if she could, she'd be in the gym every minute of every day working on her spins and trying to, you know, become better, which as a coach, I like to see that. But I also have to be able to, you know, allow for her rest. Casey's just one of those people that you're very fortunate as a team to have somebody like her, somebody of her ability, somebody of her talent. And she's also, you know, grown up a lot. She came in the fall. She's very nervous. You know, first college games, fall games didn't mean anything, but she was still pretty nervous. Well, you know, I think she's done very well to control those nerves and has grown up quite a bit. And I think that's definitely going to make for a very strong and powerful career for her over the next couple of years that, you know, as each season goes by, she's going to grow. She's going to improve not only in her ability in the circle, but also, you know, growing up and maturing. So I'm very happy that Casey's here, and we're looking forward to what she can do for us in the next coming years.
Yellow Jacket Coaches Show brought to you by Alpha Graphics, Stella's Kitchen and Bakery, Clock Tower Inn, Ortho Montana, Denny Menholt, Farmers Insurance Group, First Interstate Bank, SignPro, Perkins, Rimrock Stages, GM Petroleum Distributors, St. Vincent Healthcare, and Jackets & Company. We'll be right back with the third part of the Coaches Show coming up.
Hooligan Sports Bar and the Montana Brewing Company. Small brewery, big beer. Billings' number one award-winning beers. Great food, great fun, and great beer. Hooligan Sports Bar and the Montana Brewing Company. And we're now proud sponsors of the Montana State University Billings Athletics. Join us before and after the game for great food, awesome service, and award-winning beer. Hooligan Sports Bar and the Montana Brewing Company. Small brewery, big award-winning beer. Right in the heart of downtown Billings. At 113 North Broadway, downtown.
Back to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Ken Adelblue with Tony Stone, the head coach of the Montana State Billings softball team. Still atop the Great Northwest Athletic Conference by a couple of games. Tony, before we go any farther, obviously there's probably people wondering what happens now that we didn't get those two games against St. Martin's. Those games just lost for the season?
Probably. The rainout policy is such that if we've already traveled to their home site, which we have in St. Martin's, then for the most part, unless we absolutely have to play those games and it relates to the automatic berth into the NCAA regional, then we probably will not play those games. It's unfortunate, but, you know, we play an outdoor sport and Mother Nature, we're always going to be at her mercy.
You got some time off now. You know, you got the weekend off. Obviously, you guys playing some good softball. Is this break a good thing for you?
I think so. I'm going to push pretty hard in practice the next couple of weeks, though, because I don't want to get out of the groove of you know, the mentality of the middle of the season right now. But I think it'll be nice, you know, as far as no pressure this week. We don't really have anything going on except for practice. So I think it'll be a good chance for these girls to, you know, finish up some homework and, you know, get in the gym if they need to. Just kind of a nice pace for us right now. We've been playing a lot of games in a very short amount of time, and it might do us well to take a few days off.
You know, we talked about the fact, really, you've gone 2 weeks now, not to belabor the point, where you haven't hit the ball as well as you would like. I mean, is this an opportunity to maybe get that groove back? I mean, I realize you have 1 weekend where you don't hit real well. You figure, well, maybe it's an anomaly. After a couple of weeks, maybe struggling at the plate, are you concerned about it, and is it something you're really going to work hard on over the next couple of weeks?
I think I'm more concerned about the mentality. You know, our girls, if they have a bad day at the plate, boy, they're in at, you know, 7-8 o'clock in the morning, you know, working out, and then they're in the batting cage, and I think they need to release some of that frustration and, you know, create that shorter memory for themselves. I think it's more of a mental thing that, you know, overall we might have a bad week, bad 2 weeks, and we still, you know, might have 15, 16 hits in a doubleheader. It's not bad. It's just not what we think we are capable of. And you know, that's something that we're definitely going to work on this week. Few adjustments that we'll need to make. I think we can make them. And, you know, once we do, I think we'll get back on track and ultimately get to the goal that we're trying to get to. And that's, you know, everybody hitting at the same time. Is that possible? Absolutely. I think with our lineup, and as I've said before, I would hate to have to face our lineup. You know, Tarina Stacks leading off, Shea Oberg, Steph Goslin, Kelly Parsons, Leslie Davis, Whitney Whittemore. I mean, You say those names, and then you look at their averages, and you look at their stats, and if you're doing a scouting report against us, it's a little bit daunting. And I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, brag too much. I like to be humble about those things, but, you know, I also like to give credit where it's due. These kids are a tough lineup, and when one isn't getting it done, somebody else will. Ultimately, we want to get everybody on the same page, and when we do, like I said, I think it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, and looking forward to when you come back, because you got Western Oregon in town. Of course, people familiar with Western Oregon from the standpoint that, you know, you were picked to win the GNAC this year, but just by a razor's edge over Western Oregon. They're only 3.5 games back. You split with them down there. So obviously a very, very important series coming in.
Yes, and they are doing well. They're doing better, just like everybody else. As the season goes on, they improve, you know, and they have a tough weekend. The entire GNAC has a tough weekend. They're going down to that Tournament of Champions with the CC2A. So, you know, they're going to get some tough games under their belt. And I think when they get back into conference play coming in, they're definitely going to want to make up some ground. We have to be able to do what we do. And I don't want to concern, you know, ourselves too much with what Western Oregon can or can't do. I'm more concerned about what we've been doing, the path that we've been following, and we want to continue on that path, continue to control what we can.
Yellow Jacket Coaches Show brought to you by Alpha Graphics, Stella's Kitchen and Bakery, Clock Tower Inn, Ortho Montana, Denny Menholt, Farmers Insurance Group, First Interstate Bank, Sign Pro, Perkins, Rimrock Stages, GM Petroleum Distributors, St. Vincent Healthcare, and Jackets and Company. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you, Ken.
I've been the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Thanks, everyone.
The Yellow Jackets and Montana State University thank you for logging on and listening to Yellow Jacket Sports.